What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Happy National Fitness Day, people. Yes, that means if you don't work out today, you'll always find an excuse, won't you? Because we need a national day for it. Anyway, if you are a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new around this neck of the woods, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get incredible results. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with incredible genetics giving you health advice online, you're in the right place, because each week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet, we discuss relevant topics, and I help you get clarity on these topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to be joined by fat loss and behavioral change specialist Emma Story Gordon about the biggest fads and gimmicks online. But first, I'll be joined by Sasha Kilali. Sasha, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. Did I pronounce your surname correctly, or was it completely butchered?
No, that was absolutely perfect.
No offence was made, then that's great. So, Sasha, you're a lymphatic drainage and wellbeing specialist with the Lymph Clinic.
With the Lymph Clinic, that's right, clinic, that's yes. Correct. Based in Cheshire.
Perfect. Right, so, first of all, for the listeners, what is lymphatic drainage and why is it important?
So, lymphatic drainage has been around for many, many years. It's basically moving the lymphatic system. A lot of the time it gets stuck in between the interstitial space, which is basically the space in between the cells in our body. It gets stuck and stagnated. We can end up with chronic diseases and disorders with so much stagnation there. So it's great to have these treatments to physically move the lymph so they can be processed through the kidneys or through the liver or put back into the vascular system, back into the heart. So you reap the benefits of those hormones, the nutrients and the proteins that are in that fluid.
Okay, so essentially it's a form of massage where you're moving fluids around the body and you're helping with the drainage system.
Essentially, yeah. The lymphatic system is your drainage network.
Okay.
So it's basically like every single lymph node in your body is technically like a sink or a toilet, essentially. Okay. It's filtering constantly.
Yeah.
But lifestyle, you know, has a huge, huge part to play. If we lead sedentary jobs and we sat down a lot, most of the time people are sat down eight hours a day, not really moving, the lymph is stagnated. Okay. A lot of people don't exercise. Again, you know, it really doesn't help the lymph. Movement is massively, is key. Mm-hmm. And diet as well. If you eat a lot of processed foods, you know, high salt, high sugar, unfortunately, that just, your body just hates that. Mm. And your body is then forced to hold on to fluid.
Okay, so the lymphatic system will then cause us to retain more fluid, like you said. It's kind of like our sewage system where it gets clogged up and it needs to be moved around, and people don't really tend to get lymphatic drainage done often, do they? Would you say it's quite niche, or would you say it's
It is niche. Yeah, it is niche. I think there's so many different ways you can treat people. You can treat, you know, just for general well-being. You know, a lot of our clients are menopausal. Mm-hmm. When you start going through changes in life, you know, you can hold on to fluid in so many different areas. We treat a lot of post-op clients, a lot of athletes that have had surgeries, pregnancy, you know, a lot of fluid in the lower legs. So everybody has a lymphatic system at the end of the day. It's like your secret river of health, basically running through every part of your body apart from your hair and your nails. It's literally everywhere. And people don't pay it enough attention. There's starting to be more chatter now about the lymphatic system and, you know, what it does, which is great because it's a topic that I'm obsessed about. And if anyone could take anything away, it's just literally be more mindful, move your body as much as possible, eat well, drink at least 2 litres of water a day, because your body will just hold on to water if you're not drinking enough. And it's water, the fluid that you don't want hanging around in your body, that's full of all of the toxins, metabolic waste, you know, stuff that needs to be released.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you say signs of poor lymphatic drainage is? Are there, you know, does it come out of your skin? Does it come out and make you bloated? You know, you're the expert at this. So, yeah, it's super. This one is interesting for me. So I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah. So any way any basically exit. So you mentioned skin. So if you're starting to notice rosacea, spots, acne, eczema even, it can manifest in skin. You can find that you're bloating, you feel really sluggish, quite tired, very heavy feeling. And brain fog as well. You know, a lot of clients, after a number of sessions, they feel that kind of lift because everything's moving and flowing the way it needs to. So, yeah, any way that the body can excrete, you'll find signs.
Okay. So exit areas and obviously through the skin and whatnot. You mentioned, obviously, you deal with lots of athletes, you deal with lots of perimenopausal, menopausal, pregnancy. Do you find that it's more of a female demographic that comes to you? And do you think that's because men just maybe don't understand it as much? Because women are a lot more about self-love, in my opinion. I know loads of guys that have a skincare routine and whatnot, but as someone who trains lots, I go for massages every 4 to 6 weeks, like hour and a half, 2 hours, very different to lymphatic drainage, but it's still a kind of self-care. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great that you do that. You know, you're taking the time for yourself, and you are right. Women do typically, obviously we all have lymphatic systems, but women do typically hold fluid differently to men. Mm-hmm. Some men will still hold around the hips and the legs, but women will carry it differently because we have obviously different bodies.
Yes.
When we treat men, it's either they have a chronic condition, like they have lymphedema or heart problems, which ends up, unfortunately, with issues in the legs, a lot of fluid retention in the legs due to the medication that they're put on. Mm-hmm. They're the only times we really treat men is okay. When they have real chronic conditions and are seeking help and relief from that heavy feeling that they experience. And obviously our post-op clients, I've got a gentleman in later that's had ACL repaired. This is his second operation. Yeah. So we'll be doing post-op and he'll be going in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber as well for that extra help on recovery.
Okay, amazing stuff. Yeah, I mean, I obviously see the benefits for post operative kind of clients and whatnot, because obviously there's lots of fluid retention and we want to kind of, you know, like you said, drain the system and drain the drains.
Absolutely.
So yeah, and
you can imagine your body's a fish tank. And
mine's a temple, but we can go with a fish tank.
Yeah, a fish tank essentially. Yeah. We're like an aquarium and we want, you know, you want everything to thrive.
Yeah.
And to do that, you've got to make sure that the filters are working. You've got to make sure that you've, you know, you've got the right food, you've got, you know, the right environment for you to really be able to thrive. But a lot of the time, the things that we do externally are by our own choices do make for a very algae ridden, you know, tank. And that's why I think of it that way, like a lymphatic drainage is like cleaning the filters of the body so that you can, you know, live and thrive a bit better.
Yeah, no, I really like that analogy, actually. A fish tank. Yeah, I like that. I actually really like that. You know, I always say my body's like a temple, but the monkeys have been to the toilet way too many times. So, you know.
Nice. Nice.
You know, same kind of analogy. But, the fish tank one. I think it's a little bit nicer. So, can lymphatic issues lead to chronic illness or fatigue?
Yeah, massively. So if you can just imagine, in all of this fluid that's stuck, you have, I mean, the lymph is actually, it's double the amount of blood that's filtering throughout the body constantly. In that fluid, you've got toxins, you've got metabolic waste, which includes dead cancer cells as well. We don't want that stagnating in the body. We want that out. We want it to be filtered. We need to be detoxing it through the liver. We need to be excreting through, you know, through the kidneys, through our bladder. We need to get it out of the system. So, yes, in a nutshell, it can lead to chronic conditions.
Okay. Any chronic illness in particular, or is it just?
It's varied. It's varied. I wouldn't say it's one thing. If you can imagine, everything starts from, you know, say your 20s will lead, or how you treat your body from like 3 20s, 3 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 37 myself, and I made lots of changes lifestyle-wise, you know, 9 years ago. I stopped drinking. I really focused on my well-being and what how I wanted to live when I'm 50, 60, 70, what I want to be like. And you have to make a decision, you know, and I think it doesn't start when you're 16, you've just been diagnosed with something. It starts now.
Oh, 100%. I say this all the time. I actually have an infograph where it's like three different pictures and it's like, you know, your heart problems didn't start in your 60s or 70s. They started in your 20s. You know, your diet, you know, there's a good amount of things, but yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. You know,
it's super important. It really is important. We get one body, we get one life. Why wouldn't you? It does baffle me sometimes, but you know, as a business, you know, my team, we're specialists. All we want to do is educate people to make informed choices, make the right decisions. And part of our education is supporting our aftercare, is making sure we're checking in, you know, and supporting our clients as much as possible.
Knowledge is power at the end of the day. Knowledge is power. And it's the most expensive currency, along with laughter in my eyes. So,
yeah, agreed. You know,
agreed. Is it possible, going on from what you've just said, is it possible to prevent lymphatic buildup and, you know, and or blockage?
100%. So movement is key. You know, your lymphatic system doesn't have a pump. Your blood has your heart pumping it around all day. Your lymphatic system relies on you breathing, those deep diaphragmatic breaths, and just moving your body, moving consciously. You know, when I'm out walking the dog, you know, I'm that person that will move a bit more vigorously to get things moving. Because it really is key. In the calf, you've got something called your soleus. It's like you're basically your second heartbeat. Is when that's constantly moving. That is technically your pump. So moving your body is super important. You know, we have on our YouTube channel, there's I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Perry Nicholson. He's an amazing doctor in Canada who came up with the lymphatic reset. We teach it to all of our clients. We do it at the beginning of our sessions as well. And it's something that you can just do at home, and you can head over to our YouTube and have a look at what to do. But it's super simple. It's something that creates a mind-body connection. You become more aware of that area. You know, all of the lymph in your body drains to your collarbone, to your terminus just here. You know, and that's a mammoth job. If you already have, you know, heavy legs, fluid retention, you might be pregnant and you've got, you know, all that extra weight can be up to 3 stone, and you've got a lot of pressure there as well. So, yeah, there's loads you can do. Absolutely.
Okay. And I mean, that leads on to kind of what can you do daily to support this healthy lymphatic flow? You know, you've mentioned walking, you've mentioned water. You know, is there anything else? Are there any potentially...
Bounce. Okay. Absolutely bounce. Love rebounding. If you can't afford a rebounder, literally just bounce. If you've got injuries, you can still bounce. You don't have to leave the floor. As long as your heels can just touch the floor slightly as you do bounce, you've got that pressure change. And that's what you need to look for, is that it's literally changing pressure. We're working with water at the end of the day and fluid, and it goes a lot slower as it goes down on the body. So we want to get that push back up. So bounce. One of my clients likes to bounce and brush. So when she's brushing her teeth, she'll bounce around the bedroom.
Wow, that sounds... it sounds interesting.
Just try it. Yeah, and you know what? It's fun as well. It puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. You know, there's lots of methods out there that, you know, as long as it's putting a smile on your face as well, it's you're going to be more likely to want to do it, right? If you're doing it with a frown. You know, just turn it upside down. How effective is manual lymphatic drainage therapy?
Very effective. You can see, especially when working with lymphedema patients, they struggle. They have a compromised lymphatic system. That means that it doesn't essentially work as well as a healthy lymphatic system. It might be one of their legs might be draining into the other. Some lymph nodes just won't work. If women have had a mastectomy, then a lot of the lymph nodes will be taken from, like, for example, the axillary nodes in the under the arm. It's really, really hard for some people. So when we're working and we are manually moving, you can see the change. Like, it's hard to explain. You can literally see the change as you're working, and it's one of the best jobs ever, because we are really affecting change. And especially, you know, with lymphedema patients, we are making their lives better.
Yeah, and I've actually seen, I know a lady who does this back home where I'm from, and the pre and post pictures are actually incredible. Like, you know, like I said, I've had multiple soft tissue treatment therapy sessions in my whole life. You don't, you know, yeah, you can see a difference in, you know, height of the shoulder and stuff, but actual visual change of shape, size of the body and like abdomen area is actually really impressive. So like, yeah, from someone who's never had it, I've always been tempted because I've seen such positive results, and you know what people are like, and we know what we're like as humans. You get that peer review, you get that visual proof, you're like, oh, it clearly does work.
100%. That's why we document pictures throughout, you know, because it's so important to see that change. And, you know, your view, believe it or not, your view down doesn't change much.
Yeah.
So because you're tense as you look down. So like when we do, for example, do the abdomen. So it really is important to document pictures. Mm. But you're so right. You know, we do hold on to a lot of fluid, and it doesn't have to be there, and it shouldn't be there. It needs to be back where it should be, which is either in the lymphatic system or out of the body.
Yeah. And are there any risks or side effects to having lymphatic massage?
There always is with any kind of massage. You know, we've just always got to make sure that, you know, if our clients have got, for example, high or low blood pressure, they're on the right medication. Mm-hmm. You know, we adapt the treatment. If someone has varicose veins, we adapt everything. We work with the clients, but the majority of people can have lymphatic drainage treatments.
Yeah. Okay, nice. And last question. What one piece of advice would you give to someone that is maybe unsure? Obviously, trying it, I get it. But like, is there any advice you would give to someone who's maybe unsure or who's thought about it before? You know, is there anything that you would maybe be able to say to reassure someone?
I mean, I've been a body worker for 20 years now, so I've trained in all different types of massage, sports massage, and this is quite possibly the most transformative treatment you can ever have. It's more than a massage. It's a medical treatment in my point of view. You know, we're doing something that we're working with a system at the end of the day. We are moving your lymphatic system. We are helping with guiding, and you'd be crazy to not want to try it, to be honest. It's the best treatment I've ever done. Okay. That's all I can say.
Sounds great. Amazing. Thank you so much. Really, really, really good information on that. So thank you. Sasha, where can people find you online, social media? You've mentioned YouTube. Plug it all. Yeah. Tell us all.
Yeah, so we're on Instagram, the Lymph Clinic _ at the end. YouTube channel is just the Lymph Clinic. Loads of education on there. That's all we care about is just educating our clients. Even if you don't come to us for a treatment, we don't care. I just want you to understand the lymphatic system, understand why it's so important to have these sessions, and make your own choices. You know, there's so much you can do at home, and just be really aware that your lifestyle really does play a part in your health and how. And so one thing you have control over, just remember that, you know, you have control over what you put in your mouth, how much you move, and thoughts as well. So, yeah, just bear that in mind.
Sasha, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Great rest of your day, and I will speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by Emma Story Gordon.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yeah. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back, and we learned our lesson. From these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I wanna find happiness and I need him to be kind.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shaw thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with Georges. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on Football Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now is Emma Story Gordon. Emma is a fat loss behavioural change specialist who's helped over 10,000 women lose fat with no fads, gimmicks or bullshit supplements. Emma, good morning. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very, very much for joining me. This is going to be a really, really interesting talk, I have no doubt. Right, so let's start with a little bit of background on you. Obviously, I've, you know, said that you're a fat loss and behavioural change specialist, but tell us more. Tell us more about you and kind of your journey.
So I started, I did the standard sports science degree at university.
Nice, BSc.
Yeah.
Nice.
With honours, obviously.
Obviously.
And then I moved on. I actually found that really interesting, but I was much more interested in the impact on health. Mm. So then I worked in type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease for a period of time.
Okay.
I then started a PhD on cancer and exercise, so specifically breast cancer and exercise, for various reasons, which I won't go into. Didn't actually finish that. And what I found was there's a, I don't know if you found this as well, but there's a lot of like barriers in academia. It goes way too slow for me. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to build my own thing, build my own business, have less people to kind of have to okay my ideas.
Very slow processes.
So yeah, then I built my own business and that's what we do now is help people lose fat, especially women, especially perimenopausal women, without getting conned by all the misinformation online.
Well, I mean, we know there's a lot of that online. What would you say the biggest myth about fat loss is that you hear all the time?
I think broadly, the issue with fat loss is it is simple, but it's not easy. And this is where all the myths come from. And I actually think most people are, I mean, there's a huge industry basically playing off that. So it does always come back to being in a calorie deficit. But where people get confused is because it's simple, they expect it to be easy. Mm. And when they find that it's not easy, they're like, well, it can't be simple. So then they're attracted to all these really complex answers like, oh, it's your insulin levels, or oh, it's carbohydrates, or oh, you should be fasting, or all this was wrong. Actually, your cortisol is making you store fat. Like, that's fundamentally the issue. Is that actually it will always come back to you need to be in a calorie deficit. And even with the rise in weight loss drugs, like one thing it's taught us is they are just allowing you to stick to a calorie deficit. Like it's always
forcing you to one.
Yeah, every single fat loss diet that works is because you've cut out all your carbohydrates and thus you're in a deficit. It's because you're not eating for the vast majority of the day and thus you're in a deficit. Like it always comes back to you are consuming less calories than you expend. Your body is then forced to find energy. What's your biggest energy store in the body? body fat. That's where the majority of it comes from.
Yeah, and I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think it's extremely infuriating when, you know, it's like, oh, it doesn't work. It does work. You just haven't stuck to anything in your life apart from, you know, if you have children, keeping a child in your life for more than 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because people just struggle with the consistency element, isn't it? It's always a quick fix. It's always, oh, this works, you know. But what a lot of people do is they try and find someone online that has done something quickly. And it's like, well, why does it have to be quick?
I think that's part of it, is it's the false expectation of fat loss. So if you do something for 2 weeks and you can't see a huge change, you're like, well, that obviously hasn't worked for me. Mm. But actually, especially as women, and most women will solely rely on the scale weight to show them progress. And you could very easily lose 2 pounds of fat in a week and still be up on the scales if, for example, it's the week before your menstrual cycle.
Exactly.
And you're someone who retains a bit of water beforehand.
Exactly.
Just looking at the scales doesn't work. And then you get, I completely understand it. Then you get disheartened. Then you think it doesn't work. So then you give up. Mm-hmm. Or you respond in one of two ways. You either give up because you think it doesn't work and you've put in a load of effort, or you massively over-restrict because you're like, right, well, 1,500 calories that I didn't lose 2 pounds this week, so I'm going to cut it down to 1,000. Then you're never able to stick to it because nobody, you know, like, I've been doing this 15 years. It's not about willpower. Nobody can stick to that. Like, it's ridiculously low calories. Mm. When you do over-restrict, inevitably you will overindulge. And then you don't have, like you said, the adherence, the consistency.
Yeah. And I find that most of my female clients that join me, I end up putting on more food. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they're on 11, 12, 13, 1,400 calories. And I'm like, pretty sure, like, newborn babies are meant to be on that kind of food. Like, you're a fully grown adult. You know, how do you function? How do you think? How do you do?
But this is the point. So this is a huge myth that is just rife in the industry, is that at the moment, a lot of people will be telling people, you're on 1,200 calories, and the reason you're not losing weight is because your body is in starvation mode, and it's stopping you lose weight, right? Yeah. And then women get totally bought into this, and all they're doing is selling you a solution, which is, I'll fix your starvation mode,
exactly,
or I'll reverse
pain,
diet
you. You know, all that kind of nonsense.
When in reality, like, and then the outcome is, and then I increased my clients' calories to 1,800, and suddenly they started losing weight, and what's actually happened is you haven't reversed your metabolism, you haven't ramped up anything. You've just been able to stick to something that's actually maintainable, that you can enjoy your life, that you can have some flexibility, you feel good, you're not, you know, starving the whole time. And that's what has allowed you to lose the weight.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it's also like little things, like people don't realize what's in food. So I don't make my clients track everything all the time. Mm-hmm. But I want to educate them. I want them to understand about it. I had a girl who was like, oh, you know, mayonnaise, full fat mayonnaise, great. She wasn't weighing it, so she was just saying 20 grams. Mm-hmm. It was like 50, 55 grams. Olive oil is one. I don't mind cooking with olive oil from time to time, but I weigh it, tablespoon, teaspoon, whatever. And it's like these little things, they add up, and it's like people don't include them. So it's like, oh, I'm in a calorie deficit, but you haven't included this, that. Yeah.
Or liquid
that.
Calories. Oh, and I think you're especially right with, I'm not an advocate of tracking every single thing, but I do think it's an important thing to do initially. Like, if you've ever...
Education.
Yeah, if
I'm
you've ever tracked an actual portion of granola, it's depressing, right? It's like, wow, there's almost nothing in there. But all the things you've mentioned there are high in fat.
Yeah.
And that's like over double the calories of carbohydrates and protein. Yeah. So if you are going to track anything, it would be things like olive oil, because or even like peanut butter.
Yeah, well,
you know, like one person's spreading on toast is very different than somebody else's, and that can be over double the calories, and then you're wondering why you're doing all the right things and not losing weight.
Yeah. Now, how important is strength training for fat loss?
For fat loss, not important at all. For health, body composition, massively important. Like, I would have every single client do it, whether they're trying to lose fat or not.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like an essential for being healthy. Mm-hmm. But when it comes specifically to losing fat, it has no relevance whatsoever.
Okay. So, I agree, because of the change in body composition, that's the that's the reason why, right? Because if you're building muscle tissue and the scales are staying the same, but you're looking better, it's like, oh, why aren't the scales moving? It's like, well, you're in your first 3 years of lifting.
Mm.
And your first 3 years, you're going to get probably more gains than you are in your third to your ninth year. right? So those beginner gains are astronomically good. So stop worrying about the scales, like you said at the start. You know, it's all about waist measurements. It's all about arm measurements, leg measurements. The scales, I think, are a good guide.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that so many people get scared and put off by them. I have some clients that weigh themselves once a month, which I don't like, because it's like, well, we don't always know we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's useful to have a lot of it's useful to have a lot of data. And I find that people go one of two ways. I normally suggest that people weigh themselves first thing in the morning, every single morning.
And you then, like every day.
Yeah, and then take the average. No, sorry, actually, I don't take the average. I take the lowest of the week, because when you take the average, you're kind of accounting for a lot of noise, which is irrelevant. So you remove that noise, you take the lowest from the week and you compare that week on week.
Okay, I like that. I think that's interesting.
Highest data, like that's the best data you can get.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is this is just dependent on the person, but either people absolutely hate that, and if they're even half a pound up, it ruins their whole day, or
all week.
Or people are like, oh my god, I fluctuate so much every day, it literally cannot possibly be body fat. And this is something I always tell clients, that if they freak out about the scales going up overnight, I'm like, that doesn't worry me, that's not fat, because you don't change your body composition overnight.
Well, of course you don't.
If it creeps up over months, then I'm like, that probably is body fat. You know, if you're looking at your lowest from the week creeping up every month, okay, that's probably body fat. Day to day, you know, if you put on 3 pounds overnight, that's almost reassuring, because there's no way that you've put on 3 pounds of fat overnight.
Impossible. Like, genuinely. Like, and the mass of food.
Yeah.
You know, like, people don't understand that. They're like, you know, I know some females that don't go to the toilet that often. So it's like, oh, I'm heavier. And I'm like, you've not been to the toilet. Yeah. Like, you do realize. So I ate a kilo's worth of food. It's not just evaporated. Yeah. It's not just disappeared. You know, it's like, but again, I think a lot of fat loss is sometimes more logical than people realize. And we just want to overcomplicate it with, like we said, the fats and the gimmicks and so on. Now, how important is cutting carbs to lose fat?
It's not important at all. I mean, you can lose fat on a high-carb diet, you can lose fat on a low-carb diet, and we have a ton of data to prove this. Mm-hmm. The common denominator is a calorie deficit. The reason I often will cut carbs for clients is because most people overeat carbohydrates.
Okay.
So it's a way of cutting calories. You obviously want to have like an essential level of fat, because you need fat from your diet for health. And then an essential level of protein, because again, you need protein from your diet for health. You don't technically need carbohydrates, because you can create them yourself in your body. I don't advocate a massively low-carb diet, but I do find that with some people who really struggle with hunger, lower carbohydrate does mitigate hunger to an extent. Other people will respond in a different way and feel quite restricted not eating carbs, but there's no magic in any way that you decide to do it. If you're like, oh, I much prefer having like more carbs. Fine, they're absolutely fine. As long as you're creating a deficit, it doesn't really matter either way.
Yeah, and I think by the sounds of it, you aren't one of those individuals which is one shoe fits all. I see people time and time again online. It's like, in 8 weeks, I can help you lose 21 pounds.
And you're not like, even knowing if you have 21 pounds to
lose. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. They must. What system do they use? Keto. Okay, so if you go from, let's say, 300 grams of carbs to 50 grams of carbs, well, like, think about the water weight that you're going to drop. It's not just the calorie deficit. You're also going to think about the water leaving your body. So what would you say the most common mistake people make when they're trying to lose fat?
Trying to do it too quickly, which I think we've covered a bit, but trying to drop weight very quickly, trying to go far too low with calories, relying solely on the scales. Also trying to do what somebody else is doing as opposed to thinking what's going to fit with their life and their preferences.
Lifestyle,
And just not sticking to the basics. Like, once you understand the fundamentals, then the lesson is like, okay, how do I fit that into my life in a way that's going to work for me? And if for me that means I really like, I don't know, drinking wine twice a week, okay, well, that might need to stay in. For somebody else, it might be let's cut alcohol altogether, because it doesn't really benefit you. And then making sure that your calorie target is right for you. When you point this out, it seems so obvious, but a lot of people, I think, almost ignore the fact that if you're like, I don't know, a 6-foot-tall woman who's very active, who trains numerous times a day, who's doing 12,000 steps a day, like, your energy expenditure is going to be so much higher than a small woman who's not particularly active, who doesn't really exercise much and works an office job, the size of your deficit, well, the size of your deficit percentage-wise might be similar, but your calorie targets need to be significantly different.
Of course.
And this is what a lot of the arguments are about, because someone will come and say, oh, I could never stick to 1,500 calories, it's ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, because you expend so much more that you wouldn't need to stick to that lower calories. Now, I work with a lot of small women, and I kind of specify, like, I specifically talk about this as well, because I think they're often overlooked a little bit, and then people will claim things like, you know, you should just be eating 1,800 calories. And I'm like, that's their maintenance needs.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You do need to eat less than that. Mm-hmm. But it's simply because you're expending less energy because you're a smaller person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you do. Like, I heard someone do a presentation once. He was like, if you're below 5'3", I'm sorry, but you just have to do that much more to get the same results as someone else because you're smaller.
Yeah,
and that's it. Like, the harsh reality is just, you know, height and weight play a huge factor. You know, that first month, you know, people that are really, really big lose a stone. They're like, oh my God, I can do this every month. And I'm like, no.
No, but then the other point is, like, nor would you want to. Like,
no.
Then once you don't have the fat to lose, it's like, then you can stop, like, obsessing over losing the weight.
Now, weight loss injections, we mentioned it briefly. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your take on it, because obviously we want to go on to kind of all the fads and the gimmicks and all the supplements and whatnot. So give me your views on weight loss injections. Do you think they're good? Do you think they're bad? Do you think they have a purpose? And yeah, where do you kind of sit in that?
I don't think they're good or bad. I think they're a tool, much like with anything else. For some people, they are literally life-saving and changing, especially if you're someone who's obese or you're type 2 diabetic, or you have, like, comorbidities of obesity. Like, these can literally save your life and improve your quality of life so much. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are some people who will, like any drug, take these drugs when they shouldn't necessarily be taking them. That would be a whole nother discussion, and I do think that they're going to become more and more and more popular. And I don't think they're a bad thing. The main way that they're working is suppressing your appetite, so you eat less. If dosed correctly, you can actually do this in quite a sensible way. So most people are overdosing these, and then what happens is you eat very little calories, meaning that you're often open to, like, nutrient deficiencies, mm-hmm. muscle loss, mm-hmm. aging, like skin aging, for example. But if you do it in a sensible way, it's really just allowing you to stick to a deficit. Now, a lot of people will see, or kind of don't understand it and see it as cheating. Mm. It's almost like, well, you could just eat whatever you want and still lose weight. That's not how it works. You actually don't eat as much. That's how it works. It's still back to, it's a calorie deficit.
Yeah.
So I think that from what I've seen, and I've worked with a lot of people who are taking these drugs, the best way to take them is the minimum dose you possibly can to stick to a sensible calorie deficit.
Microdose.
Yeah, not a huge deficit. The slight issue with that is, you're normally kind of given a set dose. It's very hard to actually microdose them, but that's besides the point. I'm sure that will come along later as these drugs develop. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is to use them as a tool to allow you to form these habits around diet and exercise. So as an example, if you're very obese, exercise is not fun. Getting your steps in is not fun. Like, and actually, once you lose a bit of weight, and when you lose weight, you also become more sensitive to your own hunger signals. Mm-hmm. So then it actually becomes a lot easier to maintain that weight afterwards, as long as you're doing it in the right way and you're using it as a way to allow you to form those habits that you're then going to continue afterwards.
But is that not the problem? Like, people are getting this weight loss injection and they're just going, oh, I don't need to eat. And then they're not doing any exercise. And I always say this to people, the larger you are, the more calories you burn, because it's just harder to move more mass. Mm-hmm. You, even if you're really, really strong, yes, over time, your body gets used to moving the mass, and we are very, very good at becoming efficient at doing something, and then all of a sudden, we don't burn 200 calories for doing the steps. We burn 280, 270. Like, when you lose weight, the deficit gets smaller, you know? I mean, your maintenance, sorry, gets smaller. Mm-hmm. So it's like people, I just feel that a lot of people are taking them and they are not doing anything. And then all the research backs, like 70% of people within a year of stopping weight loss injections put it all back on and more. So that's 70% of people who are not doing the habits. They're not doing the water. They're not doing the food. And they're just going, you know, and then what? We're going to take it again? And then we're going to stop, take it again, stop, take it again, stop. Like,
so my argument would be that's actually better rates than dying alone. Okay. Second to that is they probably haven't had the right support. Like, so this would be the thing for me is like, okay, yeah, you're right, but maybe you were just given the drugs and you didn't have like habit-based support, you didn't have the behaviour change support, because actually it comes back to the same thing, you know? Like, you're always going to have to act in a way that's going to maintain your health, maintain your behaviours. I think exercise is so unbelievably important, and I do agree that some people are taking these drugs and being like, oh well, now I don't have to go to the gym. That's the worst thing you could possibly do, because now you're going to lose muscle mass with your fat mass as well, and then actually what tends to happen is with those people, they stop going to the gym, they take these drugs, they lose a lot of weight, a lot of that weight is also muscle, and then they put back on the weight when they come off the drugs, but now they have even less muscle, so they're actually in a worse position than when they started.
BMR's lower and stuff,
so, and your metabolic health, more to the point. So yeah, it is problematic, but I don't think that just because some people are taking it wrong, you know, you should kind of blanket like, well, it must all be bad. I actually think that there should be just more support generally.
Yeah, and but I think it's also because it's so easily accessible, right? I'm pretty sure if I wanted to, I could go online right now.
You would have to
order it.
So you, not but, really. So you would have to show, I mean, you can easily kind of like doctor photos and stuff.
My BMI would say that I'm more than obese. I'm 120 kilos. I'm 6'1". I'm not fat.
Yeah.
I have a lot of muscle tissue.
But to be fair, you are an outlier, right? Yeah. The vast majority of people who are obese on a BMI scale aren't muscular.
No, they're not.
And actually, they do look at photographs. So they would probably see, oh, you don't have a huge amount.
He looks all right.
Yeah.
He's a little bit soft in the middle, but he'll be all right. Okay.
But you're right. I think there'll be more and more available. And look, if you've got money, you can probably get everything.
But this is also the problem. Like, I ran into quite a few people at the start when it was, you know, throughout the whole year, a lot of people were like, oh, can't afford coaching. And then they go and get a weight loss injection. And it's like, but you couldn't afford coaching. And, oh, I've done so well. And then 6 months later, they're in my DMs again. And they're like, oh, my God, you won't believe it. I put the weight back on. I'm just like, I have had clients that have signed up with me, and they do both. They let me help them. They let me coach them. But they also have the money to do the injections. And I always say to them, if you're going to do it, lowest dosage possible. You're never going up. When you're starting to get a little bit more hungry, it's not the end of the world. It just means that, you know, your body's got used to it, and that actually food is important for us.
Yeah,
so we don't want to be deficient. We do not want to neglect food, you know, because so many people that are like, oh, I can't concentrate, I can't focus. How many milligrams are you on? 10. 10? The highest dosage or like whatever it is. And it's like, it's frightening. So, but, you know, knowledge is key, and knowledge is power with, you know.
And I think there's always having a plan to come off them. It was quite interesting a couple of weeks ago when they doubled the price of Mounjaro, and I had a lot of people wanting to come off, and in a way I thought it was quite a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, because it's now, you know, people are wanting to probably, they want to keep the results. It's like, what do I now need to do? You need to implement the habits. You need to implement, you know, a little bit more walking, more water, little bit less food, or probably right now a little bit more food, and before you know it, you're starting to feel perkier, your weight's not shot back up, and you're like, oh, I feel kind of better. It's good, because we're building habits. We don't miss 2 days in a row. Rule number one, never miss 2 days in a row.
I like that.
Start of a new habit otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you go back to the old routine. I don't let clients have cheat meals 7 days, every 7 days. It's every 10, because it's one less a month, and it's also, if you do it every week, well, guess what? It's a weekly cycle.
Yeah.
So you do really well Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, you fall off because it's the new Friday. Friday is actually Friday. Saturday, well, I've got the kids and I got this. And then Sunday, we're all sat on the sofa doing nothing. It's just a rinse and repeat. So you're really good 3-4 days of the week, and then you're dross the rest. And, you know, you're living in the same, you know, echo chamber.
And it's hard to get out of that cycle, because then you start to over-restrict Monday to Wednesday to make up for the fact that you know you're probably going to overeat.
The 4-3 diet.
Actually,
or the 5-2.
Yeah, you know? But actually, the reason that you're then feeling like you need to overeat on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday is because you have been massively over-restricting to try and make up for that.
Yeah.
So you do at some point have to just kind of break that and start fueling yourself.
Now, we are actually really short on time, and we've been chit-chatting away, but quickly, supplements, juice shakes, things like that. where do you stand with it all?
There's very few supplements that, I mean, there's almost no supplements that anyone needs. There's very few that I would actually recommend. Most of them are playing on people's insecurities and are just huge marketing hypes. So you save yourself a lot of money by just eating a good balanced diet.
Now, do you think people are wanting to drink their calories because it's more convenient as well?
I don't think so, no.
No?
And you'll find it's far less satiating.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think people are looking for an easy fix, for sure, but they're often very expensive. And you're going to feel much better eating a chicken salad compared to just always having a protein shake.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, true. Yeah. Very true. So, going on to protein, you think food volume is more important for fat loss than protein, or do you think protein is more important?
I mean, they are both important, right? And I know that I wrote this online.
Yeah.
I think the reason I said that is that not enough people talk about food volume.
Yeah.
And actually, if you think about, by the way that I mean food volume is that the amount of calories that you can eat, or the amount of food you can eat for a given calorie portion, right? Yeah. So you could have...
like veggies, for example.
You could have a very small portion, which is always going to leave you wanting more. Or you could have, for the same calories, like, for example, a huge salad or something, you're going to feel way more satiated after that. Of course, protein's also satiating. But actually, when you look at the research, food volume is a bigger has a bigger impact on satiety than protein.
Okay.
So it's really important that you eat enough
volumous food.
Yeah. And this is often why people say when they're on like low carb diets, like, I'm eating more, but I'm losing weight. And they're like, it must be the carbs, but it's actually you're eating less calories, but you're eating more food.
But a white potato is the most satiating food on the planet. So why would we avoid that? This is what frustrates me, right? I look at the satiety index all the time. I've spoken about it on here. Probably I'm blue in the face right now, you know. And it's little things like that. It's like, well, you know, veggies have carbs, and technically, if you go and have a kilo's worth of veggies in a day, you'd probably be quite high on carbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think I agree with you with the volume
sense. It's more
starchy
carbs, so like reducing things like bread and pasta and rice, which has like very low food volume, and replacing it with a ton of veg, like you can eat a hell of a lot more of that.
Yeah.
And then I think the problem with potatoes is when they did the satiety index, no one eats a potato on its own. You know, with all of these foods, it's like, okay.
We're looking at them as singular foods.
Exactly, normally the potato is actually chips, or the potato is covered in butter, or, you know, it's within something or in the context of something else. Yeah. So that's where I think that's why a lot of people will overeat on those kind of foods.
Yeah, I think with, I'm a big fan of literally a jacket potato or something like that. And I just don't think that you can go wrong. Like, I often suggest a jacket
underrated
potato. So underrated. Because, like, carbs, protein, you know, you get beans with fiber, you get some tuna, whatever, you know, a bit of cheese. I think they're great. I think they have a really, really good place in my heart, that's for sure. So, restaurant calorie menus, or menus with calories on, how accurate do you think they are?
I think, off the top of my head, they're allowed to be 30% inaccurate.
Okay.
Even saying that, like, I don't think anyone's really testing these. And obviously you have to remember that it's in their best interest to make it taste really good. So they probably have checked the calories on like the smallest portion possible with the least sauce, et cetera, et cetera. And then who knows what you're going to get. So they're not 100% accurate, but they give you a ballpark figure.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it has to be on every restaurant in my eyes. I think it'd be really good. It's just education. Like we said, you're better to have 30% guidance, give or take, then just go, I don't know what that is, but it'd be over three quarters of your calorie intake.
And I think people will have realised this more and more now, you might look at like a chicken Caesar salad and be like, oh my God, I could have a burger for the same calories. And it's usually the dressing, right?
Yeah.
And the cheese on top. Mm-hmm. But it's quite eye-opening to think, oh, that would have been my healthy and kind of like, oh, I'm being good and I'm kind of restricting myself option versus, oh, I could actually have the thing that I want for the same calories.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And Emma, we're out of time. I actually think we should in the future do a show where we just talk for the hour, because I genuinely think we could. So,
oh, we definitely could. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website? Plug all you need to plug, or you'd like to plug.
Yes, it's esgfitness.co.uk, but probably the best place to get me is at esgfitness on Instagram, and then from there you can find everything else that I'm doing. I have my own podcast, and I talk a lot about this stuff.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. You've been a star.
Thank you.
And I will speak to you soon.
Been a pleasure.
Cheers, thank you. Right, guys, coming up after the show, we're going to be doing some viral TikTok reactions.
FUBAR Radio. You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
If you drink a little, then drive, you risk losing your licence. You risk every day becoming more complicated.
How am I supposed to get to training, Dad? How am I supposed to...
You risk losing your job.
I'm going to have to let you go. You risk
your family not looking at you the same way.
I can't believe you did that.
You risk injuring someone.
Hello, I need an ambulance.
You risk being seen as a drink driver. Drink a little, risk a lot. Think.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you'd never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
What the hell with Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. I have left myself very minimal time for this, people, but we're going to get this done. So, fitness myths off TikTok. So, number one is you have to eat protein 30 minutes after you work out. I'm pretty sure this was actually proved to be absolute nonsense. It's actually like a 24 to 48 hour window is the perfect time. So as long as you get the food in within a couple of hours or the next day, your body is going to receive and take it on board. Number two, if you're not sweating, it's not a good workout. Absolute nonsense. Ever heard of a decent strength session? Three, fasted cardio is the only way to burn fat. Incorrect. A calorie deficit is the most important thing for you to do. Four, the longer you work out, the better. I'd actually agree with this, because the quality of your set is more important than the speed of your session. Basically, the intensity of your lifting set is more important for building muscle tissue, not how quickly you rest. That is a load of rubbish. And more exercises means more muscle growth. Technically, no. There are lots of people that lift the same exercises and do the same exercises. Obviously, changing it up every 6 to 8 weeks is super important. But yeah. Right, that's it, guys. Just a massive thank you. And massive thank you to Sasha and Emma, who have joined us today on What the Health. A reminder that you guys can download the app and listen each week, and you can follow us on social media. We are at What the Health Show on Instagram. If you want any help with your health and fitness goals, I do provide a top tier coaching service, which is no BS, no fads, no gimmicks. You can contact me at Georges Bert on Instagram. Also, the show will be available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. A reminder, we're back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm Georges. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.